Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. In preparing for this Holy Trinity Sunday, I read a story about a parent and a child discussing the Holy Trinity. The young person tells his dad that in Sunday school, their teacher was talking about the Trinity, God in three persons, but she couldn't understand what that meant. The child says, "I've only known a person as one person, not three." The dad then tries to come up with a variety of analogies, all of which really fall short. Then the child says that when she sees the beauty of a flower, or the smile of a baby, this shows her that God is working in the world. And of course, the dad agrees, "Yes, yes." Then the child asks, "So which God made the flower? Which God made the smile of the baby? Which makes the flowers bloom and breathe life into a new baby? Which God makes the color of the sunset?" The child continues with more questions. Which God, which of them makes the decisions? Do they ever argue with each other? Are they identical? Is there really only three, or could there be four or five? And again, the dad is at a total loss for how to answer these questions and continues to try to dream up analogies. Some of these analogies you've probably heard in sermons past or seen in artwork. Things like the three interlocking rings, a triangle. I was looking to see, oh, we don't have a Holy Trinity, because sometimes, you know, there's Holy Trinity pyramids that show the three interlocking, or they show three triangles interlocking, or even three fish that are kind of interlocking like a triangle. He also talked about, well, what about water? It's a solid and a liquid and a gas, three things but one. And there are more and more types of examples that he tried to come up with. In the end, the parent just kind of gives up trying to explain it. And in the end, it is really something that none of us can fully comprehend given our limited human experience and knowledge. So where does that leave us on Holy Trinity Sunday? Well, it leaves us where we always are, with the gospel. The knowledge that God is present now, has been since creation, and will continue to be into eternity. It is the belief in a Trinitarian God that gives us a little glimpse into the nature of a God that is beyond comprehension. We have the faith that was passed along from the earliest believers of God, those descriptions of a creator who had a vision for this world that would be unimaginable to mere mortals. Yet, as we heard in the psalm, mortals have an important place in this creation. We have the accounts of those who lived and ministered with Jesus that witness to what he had done and what he sought to do in the limited time that he was on earth. And we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that Jesus promised as he is saying goodbye to his disciples on that last night in their presence. The Spirit who was there as God's breath, as creation. the Spirit who continues to breathe life into this world. It is this Spirit who continues to reveal that Jesus was not just a human being who lived a couple of millennia ago, but Jesus is the risen Christ still present in our communities and our hearts and lives today. Even before Jesus was born into humanity and then killed on a cross, the witness of the Spirit tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, existed with God the Creator at the beginning of creation and continues to exist as part of the Trinity into eternity. In today's Gospel, we heard the promise of the Spirit. Jesus says to his disciples, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth." Jesus was saying this to people who are experiencing life that is not so different than what we are experiencing now. The disciples were living with disease, despair, poverty, political and economic systems that benefit the most powerful and privileged. Yet they had genuine hope, because they had faith that they were following a leader who they could trust. One who they knew was focused on fulfilling the promises of God. It is because of the Spirit that these disciples have this faith. It is because of the Spirit that we can have faith that God, the God we worship, is intent on fulfilling the promises that have been made and spoken by the writers of Scripture. The promises to love us, be with us, answer our prayers, redeem us from sins, and so much more. We cannot understand everything, but we are given the faith to accept, the trust to believe, and the power and courage to stand by our convictions. Yes, I know last week was Pentecost, where we spent a fair amount of time talking about the Holy Spirit, but as one theologian noted, Holy Trinity Sunday is like Pentecost Part 2, because it is really this role of the Holy Spirit that helps us balance and harmonize all three persons of the Holy Trinity. It is also the Holy Spirit that can allow us to have faith, even when we cannot rationally explain everything. For many, it can be difficult because our minds want to understand everything so that we can have a certain feeling of control. As a scientist, I have been trained to look for explanations and reasons and to believe that everything has an explanation. I think about science training of children, and I think about the spring, where it's a common practice for children as part of this training in school to plant seeds and learn about the life cycle of plants. There are even kits that exist that you can see that are kind of glass, so after you plant the seed, you can see the roots start to form and you can see the sprouts grow into the air. And it's interesting to see how children look at this little round or oval thing that looks nothing like the plant or the flower, as they wonder about how in the world that will ever become what the picture promises it's going to be. How do we explain to a child, or really to anyone, how that seed becomes so much more than just a seed? With my biochemistry background and with some help from my biology colleagues, I could come up with a variety of answers and processes and chemicals that are important, but it will never completely encompass everything that allows that seed to become a plant. In a similar way, there are theologians and philosophers out there, with those who have existed since the beginning of Christianity, who try to describe what it means for one being to be three beings, or for three beings to be one being. But no human explanation can encompass the complete being of God. There is a mystery about God that I hope we can all learn to live with. We can come up with all kinds of analogies we could possibly think of, and we could describe what it means for God to be three in one simultaneously. But these explanations, these analogies, they will never truly encompass the entire being of what it means to be God. Further, I think that we need mystery. We need a sense of holiness, something beyond ourselves in this world. And God is just that. The mystery of the Trinity is really beyond explanation. But the Holy Spirit of that Trinity leads us. And through our faith, we can accept and we can believe that mystery. The Spirit will also continue to lead us to mature and grow in our faith, in our understanding, in our knowledge of God and what it means to be a community of the children of God. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." Staying involved in the body of Christ, in this community, in this church, this will help our faith mature and grow. It is important to take the Word of God out and share it, and then through that sharing, learn more from those who God places in our paths. So as a closing thought, I want to bring us back to our gospel lesson. It is in these chapters, chapters 14 through 17 of John's gospel, these chapters where Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. It is in these chapters that we have a little window into all of Scripture. We may not be able to describe what it means for God to be three in one, but in the words of theologian Joy J. Moore, John's words help us to see the Trinitarian understanding of a creator God at work, forming a Christ-like people in whom the presence of the Holy Spirit is undeniably active.